Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A God who provides for us on this journey through life. As he provided God's Old Testament people that manna in the wilderness, so our God provides for us his very word. And as we are people who hear that word and put it into practice, we can begin to experience the life, the full life, the abundant life that God wants for us, his people. And that's why over the next 40 days, in these days of Lent, we are going to be focusing in on the words of Jesus, the red letter words of Jesus that you find in your Bibles, those words that came from the very mouth of Jesus. But more than just focus on those words, we are going to actually take the challenge that Jesus gives us and attempt to be people who put those words into practice. Jesus, many times in the gospel said, whoever does these words, whoever lives them out, will experience the full and abundant life that God the Father wants for us, his children. But here is the deal. We're tempted not to put those words into practice, just like Jesus was tempted not to put those words into practice. And yet he is our example today, as we find ourselves on this journey, as we go into the wilderness, God provides for us that which we need so we can experience and live this full life that God has for us, his people. Jesus, the scripture says, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Most of us love a good survival story. In some ways, this text for today is a survival story. But maybe you heard the story about the two little girls out in Northern California this past week. 5-year-old Carolyn and 8-year-old Leah, who decided to go on a little adventure. Now, they obviously were part of an adventuresome family. They lived on an 80-acre plot of land, and their parents let them, on more than one occasion, just go out and explore. It was what they were able to do. But on this occasion, I think it was the older daughter, Leah, decided, let's not quite listen fully to what mom and dad say, because they said we're not supposed to go past this tree, this down tree on the path. But they, you know, wanted to be a little more adventuresome and decided not to listen. And they went past that tree. And after a couple of hours of wandering around, they figured out that they were lost. And as you can well imagine, emotions certainly began to well up of fear and loneliness. Along with that, the weather changed as well. It started to rain and got a little bit cold, 38 degrees, I think they said the temperature was. But here's the thing, these little girls, they didn't panic. They remembered the things that they had learned from their mom and dad on their family camping trips. And they also remembered some of the things that they learned in Cub Scout, in their brownie training that they had, being Girl Scouts. So what did they do? Well, they found shelter under a mulberry tree, and they wrapped up together in one of the raincoats to stay dry and warm. They began to collect water that was dripping off of the tree leaves. And here's what they did. They stayed put and waited for help to come. And 36 hours later, help came. As one of the 200 emergency personnel found these little girls in good spirits and in good shape. Except they were a little hungry, but nothing a little pizza wouldn't change. Now, you and I, we live in a world that can leave us feeling alone and unfulfilled. As our lives so often seem to be running on empty, lacking real joy, longing for real peace, living for the wrong things. As we seek to try to meet our own needs, filling up on the things of the world. As we so often seek to take the easy way, doing our own thing, as we seek to stand out from others, all the while blending in to a world that is shallow and hollow and empty. Now, there can be no doubt that Jesus was running on empty as he was led out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, sure, we know he had just been commissioned for ministry in his baptism, with the words of his Father spoken over him as the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. But now Jesus was alone. And the scripture says after 40 days of fasting, he was hungry. But here's the thing. Jesus was filled. He was filled with the very word of God, and it made all the difference as he put that word of God into practice, using it in his battle with Satan and experiencing victory. Here's the thing, we too can know that victory, that life that God has for us, as we are people who put our trust in God's word. For it's in his word that God comes to us, not demanding that we go to him. It's in his word that God chooses us as he fills us with his breath of life. It's in his word that he calls us to be people who are actually putting these words into practice. As Jesus himself said, "Therefore, if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Jesus is saying to us, if you want your house to stand up, practice what I'm preaching. Do what it says. If you want to be filled up, don't just hear my word. Live them out. And that's why over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at Jesus' words, the ones that are written in the red letters in your Bible, and learning how we can be people who are putting them into practice as we take the red letter challenge. Because you see, living out these words in our day-to-day life changes us. Living out these words in our daily life fills us up. Living out these words in our day-to-day life has a big impact on the people around us. And you see, this is the mission that we've been given, to have an impact on the people around us. That's our calling as followers of Jesus, to love as we've been loved. Because as those who have been loved, we know its power to change us, who we are and how we live. So that we can actually live a life that's not just hearing what God says, but actually living out those words as we reflect the very heart of our God and share it with the people that God brings into our lives. And this happens, you see, as we're not just hearers of the word, but doers. Now, I think it was a fashion trend back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It wasn't around for very long, and, And I'm sure some of you will remember it, and some of you may still have some of it in the back of your closet. The good news is, if you have it in the back of your closet, it's making a comeback. Camouflage. You remember those days of camouflage? I wasn't really into it, but I did. I do have one camouflage shirt, and it made for a really good Halloween costume because I wore a camouflage T-shirt, and my wife Rachel wore camouflage pants, and we went as upper and lower GI. Right? So maybe I'll break that out if I'm invited to another Halloween party again. That's probably all that it's good for, camouflage. But no, some people like it. You know, and it comes in all different styles, pink camouflage and blue camouflage and all that kind of fun stuff. But you may not be a camouflage wearer, but as Christians, we certainly have the ability to blend in with the culture around us, don't we? As we don't seem to be people who act any different than the culture in which we live. As we are hypocritical and judgmental and cynical, as we put ourselves first, as we cut corners to get ahead, as we take the spotlight instead of pointing to the one who has given us everything. It's so easy for us to fill up on the lies of this world as we find ourselves worn and tired and broken. And here's the deal. Satan would like to keep us that way. And so he comes into our wildernesses, into our pains, our brokennesses, our struggles, just like he came to Jesus. And he wants to keep us from putting God's word into action. As we are Roman numeral one, as we are people who are experiencing real temptation. As doubts are raised, as questions are asked, as lies are told. And how interesting it is to note that Satan's tactics haven't changed over the years. You could hear it already in the interaction that he has with Jesus. One little word, if you are the Son of God. Now remember, Jesus had just come from his baptism. The Father spoke, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit descended on him and he lighted up. I mean, here he was, ready to go, commissioned for his mission. And all of a sudden, what is Satan doing? He's calling it all into question, isn't he? Oh, Satan, how he loves to mess with our identity as God's children. As we are tempted, point number one, as we are tempted to get more. Now we know Jesus was hungry. I mean, he hadn't eaten for 40 days. And so the doubt that Satan raises for Jesus is the same he raises for us. Jesus, does your Father even care? Jesus, will your Father even provide? How about our situation? We may not have what others have. We may not seem to have enough. We want more. And that voice raises in our conscience, does God care? Will God provide? We wonder, we question, we doubt as we are tempted to meet our own needs. As we are tempted to be our own provider. Jesus knows that his Father will provide as he puts God's word into practice. As he says to Satan, "You shall not live by bread alone." But we often doubt that as we are tempted, point number two, to take more. To take the easy way, to take the shortcut, to take what doesn't belong to me. Jesus was tempted to take the kingdoms of the world without the cross. To take the easy way, to take the shortcut, to take what belonged to the Father. And yet Jesus put those words of God into practice. You shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Jesus knew and trusted in the one who would provide so much more, and so can we, even when we are tempted, point number three, to do more. To take things into our own hands, to make ourselves look like we are in control instead of relying on our Heavenly Father. Jesus again overcame those temptations by looking to his Father and putting his words into action. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And Jesus prevails. He prevails as he puts those words of God into practice. And it's at the cross that we see it fulfilled. As Jesus does for us what we can't do for ourselves. As he takes our sin, as he dies our death, Jesus becomes needy. You can hear it in his words. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Jesus becomes rejected. Father, he says, why have you forsaken me? Jesus becomes weak as he says, for all the world to hear, it is finished. But Jesus is filled with life on that first Easter morning. And the life that he won for you and for me. As he fills us with that life, as Jesus is the one who meets our needs, as Jesus approves of us, as Jesus strengthens us, empowering us to live a new kind of life, as we are people who are now putting those words into practice, as we are living a life that is on target. Now, it really shouldn't have been a big deal. He had done it probably hundreds of times before. He was going to get gas for his car, but the gas station was a little chaotic, a lot of cars, and he was trying to maneuver around one and get past another. And in his backing up, he miscalculated and he hit the gas pump and it started on fire. And then everybody got out of there, as you can imagine, very quickly. It's easy for us, isn't it, to miss the mark. We've done things hundreds of times before. We think we know what we're doing. We got it all under control. And then we miss it, don't we? Especially when it comes to living this Christian life. But here's the thing. We can live a life on target as we are Roman numeral 2, as we are people who are filling up on God's word. As we make it a part of our lives, as we take it in, as we put it into practice. And that can happen as we, point number one, as we learn to be with Jesus. You see, filling up on Jesus means that we are people who are with Jesus. We spend time with him. We listen to what he has to say. We take our cares and our concerns to him and we receive what he has to give. We take in his love and his forgiveness and his power that enables us to be people who are overcoming temptation, to be people who are doing the word of God as we put our faith into action. As we, point number two, as we learn to share what we have been given. And what is it that we have been given in God's word? Well, there's five targets. There's this idea that we can be people, as we hear these words of Jesus who put them into action, as we are people who are forgiving those who sin against us. We You say, whoa, that's not easy. I didn't say it was going to be easy. But if we want to have the life that God wants for us, we begin to put those things that Jesus calls us to do into practice. We learn as those who have been forgiven much to be people who forgive much. We seek to be people as those who are forgiven now to serve others as we have been served, not hiding, not camouflaging our lives, but ready to give away what we have been given. And you and I, as we look at our lives, it is clear to see that we have been given much. But if we're going to be people who are doers of the word, it means that we take what we have been given and we are going out into a lost and empty world. We are people who are actually living differently, living like Jesus lived, which flows into loving like Jesus did. And that happens when we are people who are actually putting God's word into practice. Now, it can be so easy to just blend in. But in Jesus, we can stand out as we put his words into practice. As we are filled with love and hope and joy, seeking out those who are lost so that they too can be people who are following Jesus together with us. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.